The prize is inside. Not inside the box at the dentist's office or doctor's office. Not inside that cereal box or Cracker Jack's box, but the prize that God has won for you on the cross is Jesus. And he chooses to live with the fullness of the Father's love through the power of the Holy Spirit inside of you. How many of you watch a game show on TV called Wheel of Fortune? Some of you ever see that? That used to be one of my mom's favorites. I watch it once in a while because I figure that maybe it'll kind of keep my brain active. You know, you got to keep having, it's like crossword puzzles. You got to keep doing things to keep the mind sharp, right? I was watching it last night. Anybody watch it last night? Oh, good. Then you know what I'm about to talk about. Sean was on there. Sean was in the middle. He's one of the three contestants. You probably know Vanda White and you know Pat Sajak. This is the 32nd year that's been on TV. And it's all about, you know, finding the solution, getting the answer for these puzzles, right? And they're in different categories. I like watching competition when it's close, right up to the end. I don't like it when somebody has $0 and somebody else has like $25,000, you know, when it's a runaway. It kind of makes it disinteresting. Well, last night, it was really close. And it got to the very end when anybody could win and they ran out of time. It was on the last puzzle. So you know what they have to do? Final spin. So Pat spins it. It ends up on the $5,000. And then they add $1,000. Suddenly it's $6,000 per letter. And you realize this is anybody's game. Whoever solves the puzzle is going to be the winner tonight. Well, a couple of people guessed on letters that weren't there. And then Sean guessed there were two L's. He got $12,000. He solved the puzzle, and he made it into what they call the bonus round. And then in the bonus round, you know how this works. There's a category. It was called person. And they give you a bunch of letters and one vowel. They do it automatically now. R-S-T-L-N, letter E. And there's only a couple that came up. And then Sean got to ask three more consonants and a vowel. And he said, M-D-C-A. Nothing lit up. Vanna didn't have to move. Pat Sajak, as they were approaching this bonus round, he said to Sean, you know, Sean, and he didn't intend to quote St. Paul, I'm sure of it, but he was quoting St. Paul chapter 3. He said, Sean, you know, when you had the $10,000 prize and you had half of the car and then you landed on bankrupt and you lost it all, you could have gotten disheartened. You could have said, I'm done for. This is all over. But you didn't. And now you won $22,000 and you're in the bonus round. So now all of a sudden, he's got a guess. And Pat Sajak looks at him and says, you don't got much to work with, but you never know. Pat Sajak had thrown in the towel. He figured it was all over. Sean took one look at the puzzle and he said, future wife. Pat Sajak was in disbelief. He walks away shaking his head. I don't get this game. I don't get this game. He was completely confused. So Sean ends up with $33,000 plus the other $22,000. Ends up with like about $55,000. That's a pretty significant prize. What's the prize? What do you get if you win? What do you get if you lose? You probably heard some of those slogans. Winners never quit, and quitters never win. St. Paul, in our second reading for tonight, says there's just one thing on my mind. This is the one thing. Forgetting what lies behind, straining forward, right, for what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. St. Paul is not interested in getting an Olympic gold medal. St. Paul is not interested in getting this picture on the box of Wheaties. His goal is to be completely united and immersed in Jesus Christ, his Lord and Savior. He doesn't want to have a righteousness of his own because that won't get him anywhere. He wants the righteousness that comes from God as a gift. The righteousness of faith that saves sinners from death. So Paul could have said, I'm going to throw in the towel. You know, when he wrote to the church at Philippi where he was in prison. They shut him up. Paul could have said, it's all over. I quit. I'm done. But he didn't, because his one ambition in life was to press on, to strain forward, because he had this upward call of God, and he knew that if we are united with Jesus in a death like his, we shall most certainly be united with Jesus in a resurrection like his. He knew it. And so, forgetting what lied behind, all of his achievements and successes, that amazing portfolio, forgetting what lies behind, all of the disappointments, all of the failures, all of the bad stuff he had done, like holding the robes when others were throwing stones at Stephen and martyring him. Paul persecuted the church. He has to let all of that go, the good as well as the bad, because the good and the bad will not get him right with God. Only the prize. Keep your eyes on the prize. The prize is inside. Only Jesus, the one who knew no sin, whom God made sin, so that in him you might become the righteousness of God. Only with that prize can you know the gift of eternal life, the forgiveness of sins, and the hope of the resurrection. So what are you doing? Are you pressing on? Paul has a whole different perspective. He's an accountant, but he's got a whole different perspective on gains and losses. And failures don't have to define us. They can, in fact, become excellent mistakes. What do you do with the things that lie behind? Have you built a trophy case, a scrapbook for all your accomplishments and successes? Are you haunted by the mistakes and poor choices of the past? Or are you pressing on? Imagine your own self-made portfolio. Imagine it. I was born in a Christian family that went to church every Sunday. I was baptized on the 13th day, and I'm 58 years old now. I served as an acolyte. I ushered. I preached. I went to youth group. I was baptized, confirmed, married, and ordained all in the same church. I went to Concordia Lutheran College in Moorhead, Minnesota. I went to Luther Seminary. I've been a pastor for 33 years. And I preached hundreds of sermons, done hundreds of baptisms and funerals and weddings. And aren't you impressed? I'm not hearing anybody go, yay, Pastor Dave, good for you. God must have a special place in heaven for you. You've really done a lot. It doesn't mean nothing, Paul says. And here's a gift for you tonight. Scubala. Can you say it? Scubala. Oh, no. Scubala. There you go. skubala, only used one time in the whole New Testament, in Philippians chapter 3. It's excrement. I'm trying to be nice. It's the kind of stuff that you drop in the toilet and flush. It's the stuff that ends up in the septic tank or the sewer. Only time Paul uses it, it's right after he gets done listing all of his accomplishments, his portfolio, his resume. And Paul says, you know what this adds up to? Four-letter word. Dung. I know it's not what you're thinking. Scubala. Flush it down the toilet, Paul says. It's just garbage. It's not easy, don't get me wrong. It's not easy for us to get our heads wrapped around that. A team wins a wrestling championship. I mean, there's some, now with this basketball stuff going on, they're like at state like 5 times in the last 8 years. I mean, that can go to a person's head. I know how important, for example, out in Rushford, sports are. And I think I just read in the paper that the girls' basketball team just lost now. And the boys had lost, I think. You know, so it's like, jeepers, does that mean they're out of the tournament? Does that mean they're not going to go to state? You see, in this world, we beat ourselves up or other people with all of our failures. Or we try to find our worth and our value in our successes, in the awards and honors that we accumulate in our trophy cases. And Paul says, it's all scubala. It won't make you right with Jesus. It won't get you into heaven. In fact, it might even get in the way because you start to put your faith and your trust in that which is not God. And that becomes a false God. What are you doing with all of those things in the past? Forgetting what lies behind, pressing on, straining forward to what lies ahead. Press on, press on. Don't throw in the towel, Paul says. He could have said, winners never quit, quitters never win. Keep on keeping on, Paul says. So here he is locked up in jail in prison. They think they put a muzzle on him, and Paul smiles and says, you gave me a megaphone. You gave me an audience, a congregation, a group of people to preach to. And so Paul preaches, and he sees the opportunities that God has given him, even in the midst of what the world would say is bad news. He sees the opportunity for good news. Max Lucado, in his book, The Applause of Heaven, has a story in there of a man by the name of Robert Reed. Robert Reed was born with cerebral palsy. Robert Reed had to have somebody bathe him, feed him, dress him, basically do everything for him. So what did he do? Throw the cards on the table and say, I don't like this hand. This stinks, God. Graduated from high school, went to a Christian college, graduated from college with a degree in Latin, and then he went and he was a professor teaching at Latin at St. Louis Community College, and then he went on 5 mission trips overseas. And in 1972, God called him to be a missionary in Portugal, and he went. And he found a hotel that he could get a space that he could rent. He found the owner of a restaurant that would agree after they were done with the rush hour period in the restaurant, would come up and feed him. Found somebody else that was tutoring him as he was learning Portuguese. And every day he would go to the park across the street and position himself, and he would have some printed materials to share about Jesus. And in 6 years, he brought 70 people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says we got to forget about what's in the past there. all of our accomplishments and all of our failures. We've got to keep our eyes on the prize. The goal for goal for Paul is the finish line, and he wants to be fully united with Jesus in his suffering so that he might be fully united with Jesus in his resurrection. We press on, straining forward. The prize is the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. But if winning is losing, if the first are last and the last are first, then the upward call is the path that descends and ends at the foot of the cross. And Paul is all in. He's all in because he's been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer Paul that lives. What's the prize? What do I get if I win? What do I get if I lose? On the news last night, there was a heart-rending story, WCCO 10 p.m. Evidently, this past Wednesday morning, bright and early, I mean, I'm talking maybe 2, 3 in the morning or something, after the bars had closed on Tuesday night, a man by the name of Samuel Macer was driving on Highway 10, and he had his girlfriend, whom he's been with for 10 years. They have a 6-year-old child and a 3-year-old child. And he hit a vehicle that was on the edge of Highway 10. And Ashley was pronounced dead at the scene. Vehicular homicide. He could get 10 years for this. Ashley's father, Scott, said, "We're grieving the loss of our daughter, but we don't want to harbor hate towards Sam. He's worked so hard, he's been so good to our 2 grandchildren, and he loved Ashley and tried to provide for her. His blood alcohol was 0.165, twice the legal limit." Ashley's father said, "We're sharing this story hoping that it won't happen to someone else. We always said, won't happen to me." He said, "I've done that." And he meant driving while having been drinking. "But now it has come home to our house and our family." If Sam was here, I would just put my arms around him and hug him and let him know that we love him and we forgive him. The kids have already lost their mother. We don't want them to lose their father too. Mercy, justice. In our gospel reading for tonight, you know what we've been reading in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13, the barren fig tree. And the gardener intervenes and says, "It's been 6 years, I know it should be producing, but let it alone, one more year." Literally, forgive. If it bears fruit, well and good. If not, you can still cut it down. In Luke 13, Jesus says, "Go and tell that fox Herod that I'm casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow. And on the third day I finish my course. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, stoning the prophets and killing those that are sent to you, How often would I have gathered you together as a mother hen gathers her brood, and you were not willing? Your house is desolate, and you will not see the Son of Man until you say, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna. Luke 15 was the story of a father who had two lost sons, one in the far country and one at home. And the father is willing to bear the shame of both of his sons because lost people matter to God, and they need to matter to us too. We have to rejoice. Your brother was dead and is alive, was lost and is found. And in our gospel reading for tonight, were you not offended or upset? The owner has a vineyard, he plants it himself. He loans it out to tenants. And then when it's time for harvest, he sends a servant to collect some of the fruit. We might call it rent. But the tenants have confused ownership and stewardship. And they beat that slave up and send him away empty. The owner presses on. And the owner sends a second servant. They beat him up, treat him shamefully, and send him away empty-handed. The owner presses on. He refuses to call it quits. He sends a third servant, and they wound him and cast him out. The owner says, I'll send my son. Perhaps they'll respect my son. Is this guy nuts? I'm not sending my son, my daughters, my grandchildren. Send in the military, blow them all to smithereens. I mean, these tenants are like ISIS, for crying out loud. I'll send my son. Perhaps they'll respect him. And they kill him, thinking that they can steal the inheritance, when the inheritance is the prize that is only received by grace alone. And Jesus looks at his audience as he tells the parable, and he says, so what do you think? What will the owner do to those tenants, those wicked tenants? And he doesn't even let him answer. He answers the question that he asks himself. He will come and destroy those wicked tenants and give the vineyard to someone else. That's the assumed answer, isn't it? Oh, God forbid. Will there be hell to pay? Jesus says, haven't you read Psalm 118? The rejected stone has become the cornerstone. Perhaps, maybe, the owner still has another card to play, another move to make. Perhaps there's some truth in the promise of the third day. And on the third day, I finish my course. Perhaps God is determined to keep pressing on, forgetting what lies behind, straining forward to what lies ahead. The upward call, the goal, the prize, to claim his beloved children and to give them the forgiveness of sins in the name of his Son, who on the third day rises from the dead. Perhaps there's more to this story than we realize. And Holy Week is not that far away. What's the prize? The prize is inside. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We rise as we are able.